The local church is the body of Christ. As we are gathered here this morning, this is not just an assembly of people or some organization, but Jesus Christ is the head of the body, and this is a living organism. And God means to do something through his body for the glory of the Lord Jesus. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we've been looking at every member ministry, how that God has a plan to empower each one of us to make a difference within the body so that we then can have the power of God upon us to accomplish the work in the community and around the world that God has for us. And it's wonderful to see how God allows us to work together. You often read about mountain climbers that go into very precarious places up to very high altitudes, and often they are roped together when climbing a mountain. And that way, if one of the climbers happens to slip, he will not fall to his death. He will be held by the others until he's able to regain his footing. And many, many a time, a life has been saved because of that working together and the ability of the others to protect the one who might have slipped. Now, let me ask you, as we're all growing together, do believers ever slip? Oh my, every one of us would have to raise our hands and say there are times that we have slipped. But aren't you thankful for those at that time who are firmly footed, have their feet solidly upon the rock and are walking with God, and their gifting is being exercised and they're used of God to pull you back into the place that God has for you. It's a wonderful plan. Just like families mean much to one another, in some ways, in an even greater way, the church family, if walking with the Lord and folks are aware of what God wants them to do, it's just strategic what can be done to help one another grow. I also love the illustration. I've given it a couple of times. I used to go often to the Redwoods there in California, just north of San Francisco. I haven't necessarily been drawn to San Francisco recently, but I always loved going into the Redwoods, and they're one of the largest living entities on Earth, the tallest trees in the world, and some of them are over 300 feet high. Think about that. That's a football field, and some are over 2,500 years old. And you would think a tree with that kind of longevity and that kind of height would have deep, deep roots. Well, it's not so. Actually, the secret is that the Redwoods exist in a grove, and their root system is really quite shallow, but it's all intertwined. So you walk into this breathtaking Redwoods forest, and every tree is tied to the other tree. And it's very close to the ocean, and even those big ocean breezes and winds as they come from the west there on those trees, they hold together because each one is strengthening each one else. And so that is the key to Ephesians chapter 4. We're admonished in verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." We are all entreated. This means to call to one side with the idea of wanting to help or to be helped. It connotes intense feeling, strong desire. In this context, it is not simply a request, but a plea, an imploring or begging. In other words, the Holy Spirit, through Paul here, is saying, I want you to take the steps of your life in proportion to the great calling that I have for every believer within the body of Christ. And I've already preached on this, but every person in this room, if you're saved and part of this body, you are called to a ministry. Every one of us are called to the ministry. And we are going to see how that we are gifted supernaturally to accomplish the ministry that God has called us to. And it is very stirring when you think about how God's plan. In fact, you find in the first six verses that the key for the ministry to go forward is the oneness of purpose, the oneness of doctrine, the oneness of belief, the oneness of the Spirit's empowering, so that the church then can be far more powerful than any other human entity on earth. And so now we'll go to verse 7. We touched on that last week, and now I want to delve into it a little bit more because it is very important for us to see. Every believer has a spiritual gift. Every believer has a spiritual gift. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Is given to every man to profit withal. Friend, if you're saved here today, God has gifted you. Every one of you are important to the cause of Christ. Titus 2:14 says, speaking of Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Okay, each one of us have been redeemed and saved, and we are now forgiven, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. He wants us to have victory in our lives so that we have victory over sin. And then zealous of good works. And so each of us, he died on the cross for us not only to have personal victory, but to have a consuming zeal for the works that God has planned for us to have. Now, as you read the verses after this, I touched on this last week, it speaks about how Christ ascended up on high after he came and accomplished his purpose. And that phrase, when he ascended on high, depicts a triumphant Christ returning from battle on earth. And my, what a battle it was. Back into the glory of heaven with the trophies of his great victory. And what was the what were the trophies? Spiritual gifts. And that's where we ended last week. Folks, it's not just a nice idea. It's not just something that maybe here and there we can appreciate. Jesus Christ died on that cross, suffered for our sins, paid that awful price, not only for us to have eternal life, but because he loves the whole world, he purchased with his blood the right for the Spirit of God to indwell us once he ascended in glory as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As he ascended into glory, the promise of the Father came, and every one of us are indwelt by the Spirit of God, sealed by him, and indwelt by him the moment we trust Christ. And therefore, the Spirit of God is ready to give us the gifts that Jesus purchased on the cross. And so it's very important for us to understand spiritual gifts are not a nice idea. They're a strategic part of who Christ is and what it means to be part of his body. You see, the point when you use that illustration of body, here we are as the singular body of Christ, but as the human body has many different parts, so the spiritual body has many different parts. Christ is the head, and so spiritual gifting, as you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is likened unto the different ways our body functions so that we can be healthy and we can accomplish everything that we ought to be able to accomplish, humanly speaking. And so every part of the body is absolutely necessary, and every part of this body or any church body is absolutely necessary. It's not us, it is the Spirit of God in us doing that which he has chosen for us to do. And that's why I quoted often the beautiful seal of the Moravian Church, which features a lamb encircled by Latin words, which are translated into the English, "Our lamb has conquered, let us follow him." When you think about what Christ has done, that ought to have a dramatic impact upon our lives. God moved in that church, there years ago, and as a result, that church gave their lives to Christ and literally went around the world for Christ. You see, they got a hold of the fact that what they had in Christ was paid for in a way that is just beyond our understanding, the depth of the suffering of Christ. It was paid for with the blood of Christ, and therefore they should surrender their lives to the Lord to accomplish what he was going to empower them to accomplish. Now, looking back at verse 7, but unto every one of us, so that means everyone here, no one's left out, every one of us is given. And then the word grace also has the idea of gift. Spiritual gifts are a miracle of God. Folks says, the word implies that there is no place for boasting. None has anything other than that which he has received unmerited. No one has all the gifts, and also it is true that no member of the body is without some spiritual task and spiritual gift for it. There should be genuine humility in the body of Christ as we realize that anything that's going to be a blessing to the body of Christ and is going to last for eternity is going to be done directly by the grace of God. It is not going to be done through our efforts. We don't become great people. We just show forth the fact that we have a great God. And there is no place for pride. In the 19th century, American evangelist Asahel Nettleton, who was really used of God, was asked what he considered the best safeguard against spiritual pride. He replied, I know of nothing better than to keep my eye on my great sinfulness. In other words, anything we do in the flesh is sin. Anything we do through our human effort does not measure up to the standard of God. And take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. You know, this idea of, I'm a pretty good Christian, there is no such thing. There is either a spirit-empowered Christian who is depending solely upon Christ at any given time, or at any given time, a Christian is depending on the flesh, and that's not good. That's hard. Listen, that's hard to get a hold of. I've been meditating on that the last couple of days. Folks, it's not good. I don't care how faithful you are to different things. It's not good when you're not walking in full union with Christ, fellowshipping with him, depending upon him, and seeing his power and seeing his gifting exemplified and given through your life. We must never take credit for the results work in our life. That's one of the things that we can fall into the trap all the time. Two ladies were talking among themselves about, they wondered if Hudson Taylor, the great missionary there in China, ever got proud. Well, they finally decided to ask Mrs. Hudson. And so they went and asked her, and so she thought, well, I'll just go ask my husband. So she went and asked him, and he literally was shocked. He said, proud about what? And she answered, well, about all your accomplishments. And he says, I have never done anything myself that has lasted for eternity. And he knew it. He knew it. You cannot be proud if you understand the reality of the Christian life and what Christ has done. That's why, folks, when we talk about spiritual gifts, it's not adding something to your life. We're talking about your life being lived in a way that is going to count, that is going to be that which pleases God and is not going to be that which is of the flesh. Why do Christians have so many problems involved even in ministry? It's because motives aren't right, dependencies aren't right, and the genuine miraculous grace of God in that spiritual gifting is not the main thing in their life. Their natural abilities, things that they do, they may have great ways to organize and do things, but it is not the miraculous work of the Lord. Now, what I'm saying here is very important, because when God's people humbly allow God to work and allow God to arrange them together in the work, you can't stop that ministry. You cannot stop that body of believers. Well, you say, how can I know what my spiritual gifting is? Well, it's acknowledged by oftentimes by spiritual leadership. That grace is seen by those that God has placed in your life. When God puts you in a local church, he puts you under himself and he gives shepherds to help you. Now, Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, which, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation. And we're here not talking, just like in any other relationship, we're not talking about a husband being perfect, but a wife needs to be looking to the Lord through her husband, the same kind of thing within the local church. The captain on the bridge, and a captain of a large vessel in the Navy is a very powerful man. And the captain on the bridge of a large naval vessel saw a light ahead on a collision course. He signaled, "Alter your course 10 degrees south." The reply came back, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." The captain then signaled, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain." The reply, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a seaman, third class." Well, this made the captain furious, and he signaled, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship." The reply, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm a lighthouse." You see, pastor or other leaders of a church, we're just third class seamen, okay? But the church is the lighthouse, the pillar and ground of truth. And so we just need to realize that God will help you and help all of us know what God has for you. I give many illustrations when I teach in the Starting Point class about every member has a place within the body of Christ. And I could just give one illustration after another how that an opportunity has come up and God put somebody on our hearts as leadership. And we then talk to the person. If the person is the right kind of a person spiritually, they'll usually say, "Me? I can't do that." Well, that sounds like a good prospect then. Because it is the grace of God. But then it's always wonderful after they pray about it and God gives them peace to see them go into that position that they never would have dreamed to be in, and God does something miraculous. You see, it's all the parts working together. Those that have responsibility for overseership and those that are working together as we want to accomplish the great commission that God has given to us. That's our mission as a church. And so the people say, "Well, what do I do? How can I know?" Just let God start working in your life. Take the great commission seriously. Do what is at hand. Do what you know God wants you to do. And as you start serving him, God is going to begin to reveal what he wants you to do. He'll reveal it to you. But many times he may reveal it to those that are in spiritual leadership first, because it isn't going to be what you naturally think you can do. You see, spiritual gifts, and we're going to see this now in our next point, every believer is uniquely gifted. Every believer is uniquely gifted. Spiritual gifts are not based upon our human strengths. First of all, I want us to see that gifts are varied. Let's go back to verse 7. "But unto every one of us is given miraculously by God," it's a gift, a grace, that spiritual empowerment that we don't have. It's the work of God in us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Each of us has a unique place within the local church that God has placed us. Romans 12:5, "So we being many are one body in Christ and every one members one of another." Each one has its own unique place. 1 Corinthians 12:11, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Now let me just make a point here. This isn't part of the message. You may have had some background in which a certain gift had to be displayed if you were actually baptized with the Spirit. The Bible says here that it isn't one gift that we all have, and it's not a gift that marks our spirituality or whether we have the Spirit. We have the Spirit the moment we are saved, the Bible says. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You go back to chapter 1 of this book, and you'll see that there. But It is the Holy Spirit that chooses which gift severally as he will. He will divide out the working of the Spirit of God as he chooses within each local body. And so that's an important point. Christians are not assembly line productions with every unit being exactly like every other unit. I think, you know, a lot of believers think that. I just can't measure up to so-and-so. Well, God's not asking you to measure up to so-and-so. Now, God wants you to have the heart for God, maybe, that so-and-so has, be you a follower of me even as I am of Christ. But as far as how they're functioning and what's happening, God's not asking you to emulate that. Let me go on. Consequently, no Christian can replace another in God's plan. He has his own individualized plan for each of us and has individually gifted us accordingly. We are not interchangeable parts in Christ's body, but individually members one of another. Now, let me say something very directly and as strongly as I can. As a part of the body of Christ, for whatever reason, you're not functioning. Does that make a difference to the body? Big. I can't replace you. No one can replace you. God has in his sovereign wisdom, he is working through the Spirit a special ministry and way for you to be part of the body and to edify, as we're going to see in the next weeks, build up the body of Christ. And when you're missing because of some struggle you're having or whatever it is, then the body has a hole in it. O'Brien says, not all believers, however, have the same abilities or receive the same gift. Grace was distributed in varied measure to each individual, and this is ultimately due to Christ's sovereign distribution. Now, gifts are not natural talents. And now when I say that, everybody ought to breathe a big sigh of relief. Okay. I don't know how many times I've asked someone to do something, they say, Pastor, I can't speak. I didn't ask whether you could speak. I'm just asking, are you willing to submit to what God wants you to do? Don't you think God can speak? Don't you think God can work and God can give wisdom and give you ability to do whatever God has called you to do? Folks, one of the most thrilling things in life is not to be bound by our strengths and weaknesses, but to be freed into the realm of what God is able to do, and we know it's God. That keeps us humble and keeps us encouraged, and we are not limited. We're not down on ourselves. We realize the possibilities are endless because this is what God is doing through me. So that calling is wonderful. Each gift is unique, and each gift has all the power to be successful in the ministry that God has called you to. Now, this is a glorious thing. By the way, let me just mention, natural talents are given to you by God too. And does God use natural talents in the ministry? Absolutely. Thankful for different abilities and all that. But that which is the glue, that which edifies, that which brings the power of God to assembly is that miraculous grace of God that is uniquely given to each believer. And so we as believers have to look to the Lord then. You see, if you ride on your natural abilities, you can actually sow seeds of corruption over and over and over. And many a Christian serves the Lord, but with their depending upon their own strength. Folks, there are a lot of very sincere believers in a lot of churches, but the churches are pretty dead because they're depending upon their natural abilities, not on the absolutely amazing, miraculous grace of God. And also, there are a lot of Christians who aren't doing anything because they just don't think they can. I can't talk like so-and-so. I don't have the organization ability. I'm not creative. I can't make things like Mrs. So-and-so, or I don't know how to counsel like Mr. So-and-so, or whatever. And we start looking at human abilities and measuring ourselves. Remember, the Bible says we are not to compare ourselves. God will do through you and in you what you cannot do yourself. Now, any of you that played football, you've heard it over and over. If you are a receiver, you have to, when the quarterback throws the ball, to catch it, you have literally got to keep your eye on that ball all the way until it's in your arms. And how many times could a player in a strategic game have caught the winning touchdown and been the hero, but he, for a flicker of a second, took his eyes off the ball? Well, the Lord is giving to us over and over. He's giving us that opportunity. But the trouble is we don't look to him. We look to us and we look to others. Because we're not convinced that the spiritual gift is a work of God. We take credit for it. We don't mean to be proud or whatever, but we're so used to depending upon ourselves and things we can do or the comfort zones that we're in, and we feel pretty good about things that we think we can do, and we lose sight of the fact that God wants us to go abundantly above where we are and to do things that could only be explained supernaturally. Now, folks, I think this is great news because you don't need to limit yourself. But I'm telling you, I am sure there are a number of folks here, every one of us face it, we limit ourselves based upon our natural abilities or weaknesses. You have the Spirit of the living God. Christ has given you the victory. When you yield to his purposes and your heart's in union with the Lord and you just are faithful to him and you begin to see God miraculously working, you're going to realize, I am made for this hour in this place, and God wants to show himself through me miraculously. Each gifts are unique. He gives us the exact proportion of what we need of his grace for that. This grace that is mentioned here is the enabling power that makes these special gifts function to the glory of God. Now, another thing that's important as we finish up here, gifts are not narrowly defined. This is another thing that sometimes gets people confused. I've heard definitions of gifts and all, and I appreciate all of that, and there are certainly word studies you can use, but the list in 1 Corinthians 12 is not the same as Romans chapter 12 or the list in Ephesians chapter 4. I personally believe that God empowers, now he'll do it often the same way, but God empowers in a very unique and specific way for the local church that he has placed you in. Now, he will often take much of that and use it in another opportunity if it's there, but he specifically crafts it. I agree with MacArthur here. He says, nor is it that a believer's single gift will be restricted to only one category of giftedness. An individual gift may include a number of specific areas of giftedness in a limitless variety of combinations. Someone with a major gift of administration may also have something of the gifts of helps and of teaching. Believers' gifts are like snowflakes and fingerprints. Each one is completely distinct from all others. I remember I've had so many times discussions. What does the gift of an evangelist look like? I have had 100 different definitions. Now, folks, are not all the evangelists that come here uniquely different from each one? And the evangelists that are part of our body to edify us, they are not all stamped with the same, they just aren't all alike, okay? And they all have a unique blessing within them. Not all pastor-teacher gifts are the same. And they are combined with different miraculous abilities. And you start going through all of the gifts, and you will see that God has a place. That's why, folks, God has taken your life, your experiences. He knows everything about you. And when you're yielded to him, he is working to fill a very definite need within the body. And when we're not fully willing to let God do it, we're not willing to believe that he can, we limit ourselves, or we're struggling with some area in our life, so that we're not walking in the Spirit, the church is hurting. It's explosive when everyone is allowing the hand of God to be using them exactly like he has determined for them to be. And so the key is to allow the Spirit of God to work. Friends, as we are going in these weeks ahead, I really want you to mull over this. I want you to be saying, Lord, you have a very important purpose for me. I hear it all the time. But I realize verse 7 is all about me. Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. All that Christ did for us, that gift is a certain individualized gifting that is needed directly by the body of Christ. And God wants you to fill that need. Satan will either get you to think I'm really something, or he's going to get you to think I'm really nothing. And most of the time it's I'm really nothing. What can I contribute? What can I do? I have no experience. I have no background. You know, I just haven't had training. Listen, we're not talking about that. Now we need training. We'll talk about some of the opportunities and all of that that can be done. But the point is, this is given to us by God. He gives us this empowering grace. He has a specific measure, a specific combination of abilities that he will give to you to be exactly what he wants you to be in his body for his glory. And folks, that's a pretty sacred thing to think about. He shed his blood for that, and he is very much concerned that your life will be to the fullest. He loves you. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. He is wanting the best for you, and he's wanting the best for all the people around you. Someone will not get what they need if you are not living according to the gifting that God has for you. Folks, we're all products of people that have been gifted to some area and yield to the Lord, and they've touched our lives. Aren't you thankful people touch your lives? I mean, we're all enriched, aren't we? We can start thinking. I can think of people from when I was a little kid, Sunday school teachers right on up, who just, some of them just brought Jesus to me over and over. I'm eternally grateful. But you know, there's probably things I didn't get because somebody didn't believe God for that gifting. Didn't really believe God could use them, or didn't want to be used. Usually it's just, I don't think I can be used. So the key, folks, is to allow the Spirit of God to have control of your life moment by moment. We are able to live victoriously. We don't have to be defeated. And let me just say this. One of the great motivations not to get into habits that you have had or to have defeats that you may periodically have is to be responsible for others because you are yielded to the Lord and God is gifting you and you realize the responsibility you have to show forth Christ to the people that God has put into your life. That is a great motivation. Being in a direct ministry that has specific aspects to it, where people are looking to you in one way or the other, is one of the greatest ways to keep yourself very soberly realizing, I've got to walk with God. Because people are looking to me because God placed me there. Not I placed myself there, but God placed me there. Moody, often he illustrates this truth about being filled with the Spirit. He said, tell me, as he was talking to an audience, how can I get the air out of this glass? One man said, suck it out with a pump. Well, Moody replied, that would create a vacuum and shatter the glass. After many impossible suggestions, Moody smiled, picked up a pitcher of water, and filled the glass. There, he said, all the air is now removed. And my friends, when we're just controlled, when there's nothing between our heart and the Savior, when we are filled with the Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we have the power in Ephesians 5 to have the right kind of attitude, to be the right kind of husband or wife, child, husband, or father, mother, employer, employee. It's all in that passage, and it all starts with being filled with the Spirit. And let me just say, when we love the Lord and we are walking fully yielded to him, God will begin to start doing miraculous things through you as you serve the Lord. You say, I have limitations. Sure. Do you think God can work around those limitations to do things that are amazing? Listen, people that even are somewhat shut in are some of those powerful Christians and effective Christians in the world today, because they believe that a powerful God can overcome their human weakness. We're not talking about you. We're not talking about your human ability. We're not talking about your talents. We're talking about God. And we're talking about the fact that the mighty Spirit of God indwells us. And to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God said it, and he reinforces it with talking about what Christ did for us. And as we look at the rest of the chapter, my friends, every one of us can be part of edifying the body of Christ if we'll let God have our lives. What a thrill. I hope that ought not be intimidating. That ought to be liberating. I can be used of God for his glory. Let's bow for prayer.